Bruchim Aboyim to the third Shia, the third lecture in this series of Shi'urim, of lectures, which we will focus on the Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reason and rationale that underlines the commandments, those Prokim, those chapters in the Rambam's Meirah Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, which deal with the central and very fundamental issue, which constitutes, in a certain sense, the final part of the guide of the Meirah Nevuchim. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem is Borach, we were able to finish chapter 25, Perek Chaf Hei, and let us now continue into Perek Chaf Vav. Okay, so once again, I'm in the Schwartz edition in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Schwartz edition is page 512, Perek Chaf Vav. So, says the Rambam, Kishem Shenechlechu Balei Iyun B'bnei HaTorah. Just as the thinkers, Balei Iyun B'bnei HaTorah, are divided in Maisav Yis'ala Boim B'ikvos Chochma, if God's actions are grounded in reason, in rationality, or B'ikvos Chefet B'lvad, or are merely expressions of will, V'loim B'toich B'koshes Tachlis Klal, and they have there's no purpose in them. They're just expressions of God's will. Remember that the Rambam actually presented us with both opinions. Clearly, the Rambam himself favors the opinion that God's actions actually are motivated and grounded in the rationale, but he does accept the fact that there are verses that, in fact, actually do reflect, or perhaps would give credence to an opinion that the God's actions are only acts of will. So therefore, now, up till now, the Rambam said, or the Rambam has spoken about natural creation, cosmology, cosmic phenomena. That's what the Rambam has spoken up till now. However, says the Rambam, right, in addition to arguing on natural creation, says the Rambam, the same argument, I guess, Peter, appears or reappears with respect to commands of Kodesh Baruch Hu, commands of God. In other words, just as there's a fundamental dispute concerning acts of God, whether they're acts of expressions of pure will or grounded in a rationale, so too, commandments of God, I guess commandment can be a certain type of act of God too, then so too, commandments of God can be understood in one of two ways. There's a dispute whether commandments of God are actually grounded in a rationale. God has a reason for commanding something, or whether, in fact, a commandment is just an expression of God's will.
The argument is between the Jews and their Sharia?
Well, I wouldn't say Jews and their Sharia, because the Rambam clearly said that there is basis for such an opinion in Judaism, too. The Rambam would certainly claim that this opinion in Judaism is, has a very strong kinship to the Asharia, but the Rambam is not calling it apikos. The Rambam is not calling it heresy. Like in Perek Yud Zayin, the Rambam says the person wants to believe that everything is chayvitz and will, it's not called to be called heretical. But the Rambam certainly himself rejects that is the viewpoint of the Torah. But in other words, the Rambam is right. Now, in fact, actually, that you brought this up, you should understand the Rambam above. The Rambam above brought psuk and brought verses which seem to have supported the opinion that God creates things purely out of will. In page 510, for example, the Rambam brought in the third paragraph, 510, the Schwartz edition, the Rambam says, Yesh onam etzledu kama ksuvim shapshat shalem goyim behiru rishon with the most inyan zet. For example, kol asher chafetz Hashem asa. Right? V'nafsha ifsa v'yat. So the Rambam brought several psukim, several verses, which seem to side with the opinion of those who believe that creation is only chayfetz. Actually, what's interesting is that in chapter 25, the Rambam brings verses, right, that seem to support the opinion of the Asharia. But the fact is that in chapter 48, which is on page 636, the Rambam there brings a very famous Mishnah in Brachas, Ha'oimer Akensi Po Yagir Achamecha, Mishtaktim Oysai, and the Ramban is, those of you who remember from Parshas Vayetze, those of you who have learned Ramban Zalachomish, or got to Devarim, or learned the Rambans which are not only inspirational, but actually are philosophical. There the Ramban actually argues on the Ramban. We're going to speak about the Ramban a little while. The Ramban brings that Mishnah as a proof that in fact there are no Tamei HaMitzvahs. And the Rambam actually concurs that that a Mishnah is a proof, but the Rambam says it's a machlokes, it's a dispute. It was that that Mishnah is going according to the opinion that says that the acts of God are purely expressions of will, but says the Rambam, you know, I disagree with that.
What page is that again?
Page 636 in the Schwartz edition. Let me read it for you, okay? At the end of the third line, says the Rambam, chapter 48, Perek Memches, in the middle of Nevuchim, Kelch Shlishi, of course, page 636 of the Schwartz edition, says the Rambam, don't bring a proof against me, right? Now which Chazal say, the sages say, whoever says, Al ken tzipo yagil rachamecha, that your mercy is expressed through the commandment of the ken tzipor of shooing away the mother bird. And the person says that, says that the Mishnah, Mishatkin, we tell him to be quiet, right? Says the Rambam, right? Mipnei shezois achas b'shtei doyas asher is kano. This is one of two opinions that we've already mentioned. Kloimar, that is, daitam shalasoivim shein tam l'teira zulas harotzen greide. Now, this Mishnah is going according to the opinion of those who claim that the reasons and the mitzvahs, the commandments, are really purely expressions of will and do not have a reason. V'ilu anu holchem b'ikvus hadei ashriya. But of course, we go according to the second opinion.
We meaning Rambam.
The Rambam, right, the Rambam. So, the Rambam clearly understood it as a dispute of Chazal. In chapter 25, the Rambam just brings it as a dispute or a stila contradiction in Pilkim. But in fact, actually, in Perek Memches, the Rambam in fact says it's a stila in Chazal. Okay? It's interesting, as we'll see in Yitzhak Shem and Perek Chavav, the Rambam actually does bring a Chazal, which would apparently actually be a proof for a certain, you know, a source for the second, for the opinion of the Sharia. He rejects it and turns it around. He doesn't bring this Mishnah, because Mishnah you can't turn around. There's no other way of interpreting it.
Chazal is a stronger source than a Pasuk, because the Rambam is happy to interpret Pasukim if need be.
Yeah, and the Rambam could argue on Chazals too. There's nothing prevented the Rambam from arguing on Chazals. I mean, in Perek Yud Zayin, the Rambam says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person for chet and only for chet, only for sin, and that which there's a sugi in Brachos that deals with called Yisuin Shel Ava, which a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes tzaddikim to give them more schar. Like Rashi learns, says the Rambam, like, you know, that's the Asharia, whatever it is. That's an opinion that we don't hold with. So the Rambam felt that there was no reason not to. If one could argue on Chazal, let's say. Famous, the Rambam is going, and most people think that that's the shita, the opinion of the Avamar Rambam, and his Hakdama to the his long piece, which usually appears at the beginning of the Inyako, but actually the Rambam actually voices this opinion himself in many places in the Ma'ariv Hulchan. Whoever would say that the Avamar Rambam is a forgery, just an ignoramus in the Rambam, but the Rambam actually voices this several times in the Ma'ariv Hulchan, actually refers to that Gemara in Pesachim and Tzadik Vav, where in fact Rabbi Judah the Prince actually brings a proof against the Torah sages in favor of the sages of the nations of the world regarding the orbit of the sun around the earth. In any case, in other words, this is something that many people find difficult. I mean, what about this Chazal? What about this Medrash? The fact is that the Rishonim felt that that while the Halacha exercises authority on man, Agadata doesn't necessarily do so. That's actually a famous, it's a famous tshuva of Shmuel Shofar Hirsch, was never published in Shemesh Malpe. I think Rabbi Schwab told, Zichron Levracha, told the printer of the Sefer he should leave it out because he shouldn't get any solace from it. But in fact, that's Rabbi Hirsch says clearly that Nasa Benishma applies only to the halacha, not to the gadat part of Shabbat. But anyway, that gets over attention. Right? It was published by Light Magazine. It was a true published by the Light Magazine of Neve. Published it by Light Magazine. In fact, it actually was written in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. It's it's famous and infamous. It's famous because everybody knows the tshuva. It's infamous because it wasn't placed in the Shabbos Shema'ah. But this is a clear thing. I mean, even the Meiri, the Gemara in Shabbos, which speaks about the Rambam brings a famous Gemara in Shabbos, which seems to conclude that there's yisur without chait, and the Meiri says that even the conclusion of the Gemara is that there could be yisur without chait, but the Meiri says that basically our intellect tells us that's not true. It's a Meiri like that in brachos. In any case, I don't want to go into this as a tangent point.
The Meiri's not going that far. I'm saying there's 2 days within the day.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just saying is a chazal for the Rambam. In other words, we don't see an explicit dispute in chazal. If the Rambam saw a chazal, he disagreed with it. He said that's a sheet that we don't hold with. That's all I'm saying. In other words, there are not two opinions in the Mishnah. Okay, very good. Now, says the Rambam, someone says there's no reason for the mitzvahs. In other words, there's no rationale for the mitzvahs. But rather, the mitzvahs represent an expression of God's will. And some people say that no, the Kadosh Baruch Hu commands things only with a certain agenda, right, which is coming for a certain purpose. There's a reason for all the mitzvahs. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, commands the mitzvahs for a certain purpose. It could possibly be, says the Rambam, we might not, in other words, it could possibly be that we're not aware, we haven't been enlightened, we can't discover this reason, but a reason exists. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a reason. Zoisi shitas kulanu. This is the shita of all of us. What is shita? Hamayin v'yachidei skula. In other words, both common people believe this, and also, the elite believe this too. And there are several psukim verses which explicitly indicate this. It says in Devarim, chukim mishpatim tzadikim, righteous chukim mishpatim, if statues and laws, right, are expression of will, why would I call them righteous? It must be that Kodesh Baruch Hu commands things with a purpose. Righteousness represents a tachlis, a purpose. And mishpati Hashem emes tzodko yachtov, same thing too. Now, obviously the question is, we see that there are several chazals, right, that in fact actually refer to certain mitzvahs as being chukim. Not as chukim, chazals say you're not supposed to think about these things. Eila kuim chukim. Those were called chukim. Chukim usually means something which we don't understand, a chuk. Right? Could go in shatnis, right? Basim b'cholov, siya mishtaleach, right? Which Chazal say, I mean, this is a loshem the medrash, devam shachakti lecha. These are things that I've commanded you. I've always, chachakti lecha means I've etched it in stone, which is an expression of its permanency, its opaqueness. Ve'en lecha rishus laharab elehem. You don't have permission to think about them. V'asot v'katik aleihem. And the Satan says, why are you listening to these stupid laws, they make no sense. For umas ha'oidah mashivin alayim, the goyim say crazy things. These are crazy things that Jews obey these crazy laws. So, in other words, what in fact, actually, right, so what does this chazal mean? So says the Rambam, ein ha'min chacham aminim shem devom shenlem tam klal. Now, the understanding of this medrash, the Gemara in Yuma, Samach Zayin says something similar, is not that there's no reason whatsoever. V'lo buch shalem tachlis, ki zeh yamim l'day ma'is v'shab. You can't say that chukim, that God does something without any reason. But that would mean that a command of God is basically, an act of absurdity. K'mo shetziyana, like we explained. They certainly have a reason. In other words, these types of mitzvahs which we're calling chukim, a reason which benefits people, a beneficial reason. In other words, what the Chazal is saying is that, what do you mean? In other words, don't think that if you don't come up with a reason, then they're silly things. It's not true. There is a reason. But it could possibly be that intellectually a person cannot discover the reason. In other words, the In other words, what the Medrash is saying is not that there isn't a reason. It doesn't say there isn't a reason. What it says is that people laugh at the Jewish people, laugh at the Klal Yisrael for keeping these reasons, because the Jewish people cannot produce a reason. But it doesn't mean there isn't a reason, just that our intellect is not powerful enough to supply a reason. Yeah.
Where's the Gemara in Yuma?
Where is Samach Zayin Amud Beis? It says, for the Pasuk, as Chokoy Say Tishmo, it says, these are things that, what do you mean, to God, the Satan, and the Musa Oilam, right? And of course, the Prophet says, Eina Shichachati Lechav Shish La'arabin. Now, Harabahem, basically, Devach Agav. La'arabahem doesn't mean a lot of think about them. I think, really, this is the Pshat in the Rambam. In other words, you can say, you don't have Rishu's permission to find a reason. That can't be. The Rambam, obviously, is not learning like that. When a person's mahara on something, it means he has misgivings. Hihurim means misgivings. The Rambam says, just because people are going to laugh at you, just because you don't have a reason, you shouldn't have misgivings. In other words, you don't have permission of misgivings because you can't think of a reason. There is a reason. The Kurbasa Yunus is not powerful enough. In other words, the Rambam is clearly learning this medrash to mean that there are reasons. Ein lecha reshus lahara behem means, according to the Rambam, right, I don't give you permission to have misgivings about them because of the fact that don't think you're permission to misgive them because you can't understand the reason. There is a reason, but you're not powerfully, you know, you're not intellectually powerful enough to discover it. That's how I think the Rambam is learning the medrash. Okay? Goes on, he says, l'shitasam, yesh lecha la mitzvah's tam. Right? Everybody agrees there's a reason for all the mitzvahs. Of course there's a rational reason which is of benefit to man. There are certain things that there's a clear reason for them. For example, right? To kill or to steal. But there are certain things which are much more opaque. Like, for example, oil and kliya kelim. Although the Rambam later on we'll see is actually going to find reasons for them, a different type of a reason, but certainly it's a type of a reason. Okay, now, very nice, but can we produce a chazal which actually supports the Rambam's position? So Baruch Shem Rambam does. The Rambam says, "Halalu shetor al sambrua lahamoy kruy mishpatim." Those laws which have a clear reasoning are called mishpatim. Those that do not have a clear reason are called chukim. What it means a clear reason? There is a reason. God is a reason. But basically, man is intellectually powerful enough to understand the reason. Chachamim say, Tommy, they say many times, okay? This is actually a medrash. It's actually some medrash in several places. Kiloi dover reiku. In Devarim it says, Kiloi dover reiku. It's not something which is empty. And say chazal vim reiku, but if it appears to be empty, it's because of you. Kloimis is the Rambam. What did Chazal want to say with this? Ein matan mitzvah dover reik. It's not a vacuous command which has no reason. Chosat tachas ba'ilah. There's no purpose for it. Vim nira lachem b'dover min ha-mitzvah shu kazeh. If you should think, then what? The mitzvah is something empty without a reason. Clearly, it's your intellect which is remiss and not God's command. Known, for example, that Shlomo HaMelech knew the reasons for all the mitzvahs except for Paraduma. We also know that, you know, Chazal say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu hid the reason for the mitzvah, means there are reasons for the mitzvahs. For example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about three mitzvahs that the reason was hidden. So here the Rambam is saying is clearly is that we see that in fact there are several chazals which indicate clearly that there are reasons for the mitzvahs, whether a person is intellectually, you know, deep enough or, you know, adequate enough to understand them is a different issue. Now, the fact is, the Rambam here is, that is a very important thing. The Rambam here is going to actually bring a medrash which seems to run against what he's saying. And it's interesting he brings this medrash, and not another medrash. The medrash spoke about the Mishnah in Brachos. This is in Megillah 2. We'll speak about this in a little while. But this medrash should be known to most people who are watching, who are listening, because this medrash is a medrash which the Ramban brings in Parshas Kiseitse. We'll see how the Rambam deals with it. Says the Rambam, however, the Rambam actually wants to introduce a slightly new topic. And this is actually going to bring us into a very, very fundamental theme in the Mor Nevuchim as a whole, which actually has relevance to many, many other issues besides the Tamei Mitzvahs. Aval ani matzasi nisur shel hachachamim b'Breishis Rabba. The Rambam says he finds a statement of Chachamim in Breishis Rabba. Shemimenu nidma behir harishin shel chedem ben hamitzvah in tam el atziv v'gad. The part of the mitzvahs don't have a reason. It goes up to now, the Rambam has not brought any medrash which says explicitly the mitzvahs don't have a reason. So those medrashim are easy to explain because he didn't bring the Mishnah in Brachos. But here is a medrash which seems to say explicitly that mitzvahs don't have a reason. In other words, that mitzvahs are commanded without a purpose, without a rational purpose on God's side. So this is a medrash based upon a, right? What does it make a difference to God whether the shechit is done from the front of the neck or from the back of the neck? We all know that shechit in the front, you shechit from the front of the neck. Back of the neck, the shechit is it's not a shechit. There's a malik in the back of it, but that's it. So in other words, the medrash says, what does God care which way you slaughter an animal? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu clear care? Have you oimer lo nidu mitzvahs el atzav em sabrius? In other words, so you should say the mitzvahs were only given somehow to cleanse. Letzroif es abrius, somehow to purify man, like it says, imas Hashem tzrufa. So we see clearly that God has no reason. God has no reason for the mitzvahs. And the purpose of the mitzvahs are just for man. In other words, that basically to give to spiritually ignite, spiritualize people. But really, God's Boko really has no reason. God's Boko couldn't care less whether he shack this way, he shack that way. So the Rambam says, Avshtvom Eile Buzar Ma'od. Very strange, says the Rambam. Very strange medrash. V'ein doim lehem b'divreim arein mefar shoysam.
Okay, says
the Rambam, I'm going to explain this medrash. First of all, the medrash is very, very strange. Why is the medrash strange? Number one, the Rambam says, we've already explained that it's strange to attribute, right, silliness or vacuousness to an act of God. That's what the Rambam says. In other words, we have to stay on track, says the Rambam. That's number one. Number two, I've already said the Rambam, I've already brought you both Midrashim and both Psukim, both verse and statements of the sages, which indicate that the mitzvahs, right, have a reason. He brings Lov Davareku, then he brings the pasuk that he says, "I said to Zera Yaakov, Toyo Bakshuni, Ani Hashem David Tzedek Magid Meisham." Kadosh Baruch Hu says things which are straight, which are righteous, which are ethical. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say things which are toyo, which are nothingness, which are empty, vacuous. In other words, the Rambam is saying this seems to be an exception. It's very strange, even though there are other exceptions the Rambam will mention later on. But at this point, the Rambam seems to be an exception. In other words, this seems to be a statement. In other words, every statement of Chazal is either pro-Tama mitzvahs or certainly neutral, can you explain it any way? But here we seem to have a statement of Chazal, which is explicitly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't care less, right, how the command is affected, right, so long as it has spiritual benefit to mankind. So said the Rambam, how do we explain this? Okay, everybody with me? So now comes the Rambam, which is a very, very interesting explanation, which is actually going to be quite a revolution. Masheroi shekol shalom besichlo yamid boy. Whoever is complete, perfect, whoever is intellectually well, beinyan zeh who mashe atan. I'm going to explain to Rambam something that really, if you're intellectually well, then you should really believe this. It's very important. V'ushalakol ha-mitzvah sheish pechach tam. So the Rambam, for sure, all the mitzvahs have a reason. But tzivil aleim nitan ez kol shein. And Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us with a reason. That's clear. However, said the Rambam, there's a difference between the mitzvah as a whole and between the details of the mitzvah. V'ilo ha-protim shalem ein asher aleim noma shehem beglal tzivil belvant. In other words, but we can't say that the details of the mitzvah necessarily follow with the same rationale or logical and rational consequences of the reason for the mitzvah in general. Dugma lezayis, for example, shariyas balachayim mitochecha chatzuna hateva to elasam berura kamo she'oy davir. In other words, killing an animal for the purposes of nourishment is clearly a rational and a beneficial command, as we'll explain later on, says the Rambam, in Parak Memches. But in other words, the mitzvah of killing an animal, or the mitzvah in shechita, in principle of killing an animal, right, has an obvious reason. But why should it be with shechita and not some other way? Club the animal. We should somehow, you know, give it a kill the animal with a non-kosher shechita. That's what they call nechira. We shechita in a certain place, in another place. I mean, there are other ways of killing an animal. In other words, you could say is that the Medrash says that Tzav Zabriya is not speaking about the overall mitzvah of killing the animal, but it should be done in accordance with the details of Shechita. Which the Ma'aseh, the Gemara and Chulin calls the five halachas Moshe B'Sinai. So says the Rambam, that's the way we're learning in the Medrash. What does it mean, shaykhit min atzal l'shaykhit min ha'od? Just say shchita, general shchita. But the Medrash is focusing on the details. It's got the kadum and says, rabbi g'lav l'insuach shal chomim, shaykhit min atzal l'shaykhit min ha'orev. L'kashem b'kir and b'dal l'miso. Okay, now, says the Rambam, the reason I'm telling you this is because chom themselves are expressing the fact that the expression l'tzal l'shaykhit min ha'orev is to spiritualize, to spiritually energize man, is actually coming from the details and not from the mitzvah as a whole. Now says the Rambam, the only reason I'm telling you this is because that's what Chazal said. But says the Rambam, really, I've discovered myself that really, in fact, there is a reason why, in fact, the shechita is from the front of the neck, not from the back of the neck. But if really, no, check the thing out and to understand really the truth of the matters. Basically, Kodesh Baruch Hu had two things in mind. Number one is the quick is death, and the easiest way to do it. In other words, it should be good for the animal, good for man. If I want to check the animal, well, I saw the animal from the back of the neck, I have to take a tremendous a summarized sword and slice the animal. There's a bone here. I mean, the Gemara Chulin speaks about you check the animal and hit the bone. You can actually check with the read, the Gemara says. And also, too, when you check from here, it comes much quicker. Right? Hishtush has going to be a chadad. I would have a reason, but since Chacham said like that, I'll explain the measures like that. Okay, now, we come, however, here with an interesting paradox. And this is the Rambam's introduction to what really is an entire section and a very, very major and interesting theme, which I think most people have not really taken account of. The Rambam is claiming that acts of God for sure have a rational basis. To say that there's no rational basis to acts of God, and certainly in particular commands, would basically render God's commands or acts to be vacuous and silly, absurd. On the other hand, the Rambam does understand that this refers to a category of an act. But certainly detail, says the Rambam, is not in principle. We don't have to say that in details have to have a rational basis, namely, why this detail and not another detail. So in a certain sense, what the Rambam is going to do, essentially enough, is that there's going to be a sandwich effect. What would be a sandwich effect? In other words, creation of the universe in entirety, we spoke about last time in chapter 25, as was evident also too in chapter 13 of the section 3, is that you can't, there's no overall reason. Details, also, there's not necessarily a reason. Where there's a reason is somehow the intermediate, the middle of the sandwich, and the peanut butter, the tuna fish, whatever, the butter. The middle of the sandwich is where we look for reason, where we seek out a rational understanding. It's very, very interesting. Now,
the Rambam saying that through the Medrash, he argues on that, doesn't he?
What?
The Rambam saying that every prayer also has a reason. No,
chas v'shalom, because he'll not answer. No, chas v'shalom, God forbid.
So, I mean, this is like, the Rambam said this.
No. We're going to see this in a little while. Yeah, we're going to get to this right now. Yeah.
The Rambam's trying to explain why mitzvahs have a reason by explaining a reason for mitzvahs. It's a little bit circular. And he hasn't given a rationale as to why there should be a reason for mitzvahs.
No, he said, because if you say there's no reason for mitzvahs, you mean that God's acts are purely expression of will and there's no chacham based upon. That means God's acts are absurd.
He brings a midrash which seems to imply that mitzvahs don't necessarily have a purpose or don't necessarily have a reason.
No, so the Rambam says,
how it has pushed that aside is by explaining that there is potentially a reason for that.
No, the Rambam says, the midrash is saying, of course there's a reason for the general mitzvah of shechit, of killing an animal. But why should the detail be like this and not like that? That doesn't only have to have a reason. You know, for example, there's a reason for a person to get dressed in the morning, to go out dressed, but does he have to wear a white shirt or a blue shirt?
So the midrash is only focusing on the details.
That's right. Okay. Well, I mean, why? Today of course you'll have to wear a white shirt, but I'm saying, okay, fine. But that's like the well,
why,
yeah.
Why does the reason,
it's easier to get into Beis Yaakov.
How come when we say reason, it has to be a human reason, a reason that a human being can understand?
Because if that's true.
In other words, why can't we posit that God has a reason, but it's not a reason that we can understand? Just the same way we explain theodicy or other things by saying that there's a reason for it that's unattainable to the human mind.
Okay, first of all, what you're asking is a good question. Let me repeat the question. In other words, why can we say there's a reason that, you know, but the reason, you know, is beyond man, right? For example, and when it comes to Tzadik V'Raloi, the Rambam posited that even though Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes only for sins and awards only for mitzvahs, nonetheless, God's knowledge is infinite, as the Rambam speaks about in the following chapter 17, and in principle, a person cannot know this. I think the reason for this is the following thing. First of all, there's an issue of necessity here. In other words, the Rambam understands that Tzadik v'raloi, or for example, a person sees misfortune, right? Clearly, there's going to be circumstances or situations where, in other words, a person's a tzadik and suffers, or a little baby, for some reason, you know, suffers, then for certainly, we can't think of, in terms of any terrible punishment the person did, or a certain type of sin the person did, as opposed to some type of a Russian evil person. So the Rambam is forced here to say that, you know, God's knowledge is infinite, but I mean, the Rambam has to say this because the Rambam rejects the fact that God is going to punish for no reason. In other words, the a priori, we have to uphold the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards people only for mitzvahs, for, you know, for doing things, and punishes only for transgressions. Right? If we find a contradiction between the reality of things and this notion, so therefore we will, you know, we just posit the fact that God's knowledge is infinite, that man, basically this is something in principle that man is not privy to. But in terms of the commandments of God, right? I mean, and practically speaking, it is possible to find a reason. In other words, in commandments of God, I mean, the Rambam claims, first of all, the Rambam claims in principle that he's found reasons for these. In other words,
that goes back to what Rafal asked. You can't prove that there is a reason for the fact that you found it.
No, the Rambam's play is pretty dumb. But to the Rambam, chapter 25 is part of the fact that I want to think, says the Rambam, that when God acts and then when he commands, it's not vacuous, but actually there's a rationale behind that. There's a rationale behind that. Now, the fact is that if there's a rationale behind that, right, what does it mean there's a rationale behind that? In other words, because it shouldn't think that God's acts are absurd. Now, who's going to think God's absurd? The human being's going to think that God's acts are absurd. In other words, it has to appear to me to be rational. In other words, in the case of theodicy, I just have to rely upon the fact that God's knowledge is infinite and that's it. But in other words, not how I perceive things. It's just, I have to have somehow faith that God only punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous, ultimately. But in the case of the mitzvahs, right, they can't appear to be something which are vacuous. The Rambam feels...
That's exactly what we were trying to correct.
What?
That's
right.
Exactly what we were trying to fix.
Right. You know what I'm saying? In other words, that has to be. Now, the fact that's one answer to what you're saying. I think a second answer to what you're saying is that ultimately we're going to see that the Rambam understands that Teras Moshe Rabbeinu, which is going to repeat several times, in fact, in chapter 25, 26, represents the ultimate in human reason. In other words, the Rambam understood that Judaism, the commandments, right, are ultimately rational, and that's what makes them true, and that what makes them, you know, perfectly ethical. In other words, for the Rambam, it was very important that Teras Moshe Rabbeinu be rational. The Rambam's going to say this here in 25. You can say it in almost every chapter. In other words, the rationality of Teras Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't want to say it's the rationality of a person, Chas V'Shalom, but the rationality of Teras Moshe Rabbeinu requires that the mitzvahs be rational in the human sense. In other words, God, the punishment of God is not done through human being, but Teras Tzivolano Moshe. The Torah was commanded through the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in a certain sense, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu has to be expressible in rational terms. Whereas theodicy, which doesn't involve Moshe Rabbeinu, or requires a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in principle, that can be infinite, and that can be beyond man's understanding. That's what I would say. Okay, fine. Now, comes the Rambam, though, with an incredible explosion here. I don't think anyone really understands this. Anyone even spoken about this. But the Rambam now is going to speak about the nature of details. Dugma lemos hamisis shel inyan apotim hu akob. An example of details. You know, an example of the essence, or prime example of details, is sacrifices, the korban. Ki letzivoy hel ahakiv korbonos sheish ta'elz ben brura, kamo shani osad lahavir. Says the Rambam, the purpose of sacrifice is very clear, as I'll explain later on. There's a clear purpose why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jews to offer sacrifices. However, Ach Shekorban Zekeves, but why? This should be a ram. It should be a ewe. This should be a ram. Shepsel. There should be a certain number of animals. There can never be reasons for this. Now, the Rambam is saying very interesting. It's not that we can't find reasons. The Rambam seems to be saying, in principle, there are no reasons. Very, very interesting. He didn't say, Lazois will never find a reason. In principle, there cannot be reasons for details. Says the Rambam, Ladaiti, in my opinion, Kol Mishias Asik, Pamatin Ta'amun, Lamashu, Bepotamein, whoever engages himself in trying to find reasons for these details, Huza Hazoya Bumushachas, Shalo Yasib, but absurd, Elo Yasib, absurd. A person will just drive himself crazy with the illusion they can find a reason, he doesn't find a reason. In other words, in principle, one can never find a reason for the details. Misha Medame, Shall Pratim Elo Epshla says Tamim, Rochuk Bina Emes, a person is far from the truth. Very interesting. Just like a person who believes that a mitzvah has no reason is far from the truth, so too a person who believes that he can understand the details is also far from the truth. In other words, in principle, I can never know the details. Says the Rambam, it's necessary. In fact, Chachma requires that to details you can't give a reason. Very interesting. It can't be the Torah is going to have reasons for these things. Because if you say, why is it a kevis and not an ayil? Why is it a ewe and not a ram? I could say the opposite way. For ain monas be min kol shul, maybe some other type. Why is it seven kvasim? Why in this korban, in the sacrifice, I had to offer 7 and not 8? Right? If I would have said 8, I could have said white 7. In other words, whenever you give me a specific number, a specific type of animal, I can always ask the why is it not the other one? This is similar to nature, the possibilities of nature. In other words, basically in nature, when we have specific numbers, the planets have specific distances, specific number of planets, you can never say a reason, you can never give a reason for one and not the other. This is fundamental. Yeah.
There's a syllogism.
No, it's not a syllogism.
I can't know why 4 and not 5, because if I'd figure out why 4, it might turn out to be 5, and then we'd be able to figure out why 5 and not 4.
No, because whatever number you give, you always ask the question, why not the other number? That's what I'm going to say.
No, that's only because I can't give a reason, though. If I would really have a reason, it has to be 4 based on...
The Rambam is claiming is that you can never give a necessary reason for a number. No, the Kupas can give a sufficient reason, but a necessary reason. That's the Rambam's claim. It was in principle,
right,
if it comes to details,
that,
I can never do it. Now, let me explain what's going on.
It's the same as his assumption.
No. Because the Rambam is saying, if I'm speaking about a general reason for a mitzvah, that I can do. There's always a reason. But if I'm speaking about a number, right, basically, I can accommodate any number within the same general reason.
Why do human beings have 2 eyes? Because we have binocular vision. So you say, why not 3?
The answer is, why not 3?
Why not 1 eye?
Why not 3?
I would say that, because the minimum unit for binocular is 2.
I don't know. Why do you have 2 ears? You could have 1 eye. Maybe 2, 1 ear. Maybe 3. Again, maybe you have stereo 3 ears.
That statement assumes...
Before we argue the merits of this empirically, I just want to just say... Before we get into a philosophical discussion, which is important now, I just want to say that this is a theme in the Bein Avuchim in general. For example, I want to give just 2 other places where the Rambam speaks about this. In chapter 34, Perek Lamed Dalet, in your Schwartz edition, page 541, the Rambam says, Chayev Atal Adas, you have to know. I think you use Chayev here too. Das Hachoch B'Chayev. You have to know, says the Rambam. Gamke, she'ein ha'teira shayel achari. The Torah doesn't deal with exceptions. Ve'ein ha'tziva behetin lemiyut. In other words, basically, el b'chol dey amida o ma'isa, mo'yil she'roitzim lahasik, miskabin l'dvam sh'al p'iroi. The Torah, when I say the Torah has a purpose, or is beneficial, we're speaking about the majority. It could possibly be there's certain people that the reason for the commandment doesn't apply. All the yeshivas are good for everybody. So, what does the Rambam say? The Torah doesn't deal with details with every person. The Torah goes by the majority. That's one place where the Rambam expresses like this. Now, a third place where the Rambam expresses this idea is in Parak Zayin regarding free will. There the Rambam brings the Aristotelian opinion. Then, in fact, actually, that which I read from Perek Lamed Dalet was page 541. In Perek Yud Zayin, on page 476 of the Schwartz edition, the Rambam explains the Aristotelian theory that, in fact, there was only providence on the planets and not on terrestrial natural things. By the way, the Rambam basically agrees with Aristotle, except that there's providence on man, which Aristotle denies. But the Rambam says that God doesn't know. It doesn't make a difference to God. It doesn't know if the spider, was drowned by the water or the wind knocked down the ant or the spider. In other words, basically, there are only general principles of nature for the survival of the species. But the general laws of nature are not concerned with details. But clearly, it's also another place where Maimonides, where the Rambam clearly says that the general rational laws are not with details. Now, and that's what Rambam is saying here. The Rambam is saying here clearly that in principle I can't know the details. Now, why in principle can I not know the details? So I want to claim that there's two reasons for this. But before I say two reasons for this, I want to say that the Rambam here is elaborating a very sophisticated philosophy, ontology, which actually I want to call the uncertainty principle. In other words, most, and I think actually the Rambam is unique in medieval philosophers. I think he was the only medieval philosopher to do something like that. I think I saw in Amos Funkenstein's book, actually, he wants to make this comment too. But the fact is that the Rambam is saying, elaborating what's a very, very modern theory. In other words, he says, lack of understanding of the rationale of details is not because of a lack of our knowledge, but it's fundamental, like quantum mechanics. In quantum mechanics, there's uncertainty, not because I don't have absolute knowledge, not because I don't have, you know, better equipment to measure things, but in principle, I can't know the details. In principle, I can't know the details. The uncertainty principle says, in principle, I cannot measure positional momentum at the same time. It's a principle of quantum mechanics. In other words, uncertainty is built into the ontology, built into the science. And the precursor of Heisenberg and Yimach Shamayim, in fact, actually was the Rambam in the Meir Levuchim, that basically uncertainty is built into the system. Now, I want to claim that there are two rationales for this, or two understandings of this. Understanding number one is, by definition, a reason is a general statement. In other words, by definition, when I give a reason for something, I'm making, in other words, a natural law, for example, is a general rule. In other words, if the rational law is understood, it's understood because it exists as a logical statement independent of of specific details. In other words, if, for example, I have a world, a Hasidic world, where there's no rational law, every detail is irreducible, so by definition there's no reason. In other words, reason, understanding rational by definition, cuts across the differences between individual things. In other words, a rational statement, trees grow, right, assumes a priori there's no difference between two trees. So in other words, the very existence of a law of nature which calls for a general rule, by definition, rules out the possibility for an understanding of the details. That's what I want to claim. In other words, when we make general rules, we negate the individuation, the identity of specific things. In other words, knowledge is negation. I think this is actually a Hegelian concept. That when a person thinks abstractly, he negates the differences between two things. And I think the Rambam is actually being very Hegelian in this. In other words, the act of mind encompassing ontology is also an act of negation, because I negate the differences between individual things. So in other words, to express this in philosophical knowledge, if I believe in principle that I can have a rule, I can have a reason, that I have to believe in principle that there can't be reason for the particulars, because if there's a reason for the particulars, there can't be an overall rule. That's one philosophical way of understanding this. A second philosophical way of understanding this, right, in my opinion, is the following. In other words, the Rambam has actually used this as a theme in the second chelik of the Meir Levuchim. In the second section of the guide, the Rambam was arguing with Aristotle over the eternity of the world. And then the Rambam wanted to explain that proofs that the world is not necessarily eternal is because we see there's a particularization of, for example, the position of the planets, etc., which you can't give a reason to. In other words, if in fact I can give reason to details, you know, the details are necessary consequences of natural laws, then the Rambam would actually, it seems to apply in the Rambam, that I would actually have to give in and acknowledge that the turn of the world is proven. Says the Rambam, the turn of the world cannot be proven. Why? Precisely because there are details. Which means that, in other words, theologically speaking, we spoke about last week the dichotomy between eternity and creation ex nihilo. It turns out this dichotomy of creation ex nihilo expresses itself within the parameters of the general versus the particular. In other words, to maintain eternity, to obtain a reason, a rationale, implies eternity, like the Rambam said. However, to maintain the opaqueness, creation ex nihilo, there can't be a reason for details. So it turns out when I spoke about sandwich effect, I really meant it. Meaning that what? The creation ex nihilo part of the entire universe turns up in a resurrection in the details. The rational part of the universe is right in the middle. It's very, very interesting that in modern physics, the program of modern physics is an attempt, right, is an attempt to unify quantum mechanics and general relativity. It's interesting that quantum mechanics is typified by detail, particles. General relativity are speaking about, gravitons, but no one's discovered them, this and that. General relativity is actually much more general. What's very, very interesting is that this concept between general and detail has brought about a clash in modern physics. I don't want to go into this in detail, but in fact, actually, this is a very interesting speculation. That it could possibly be it could possibly be that quantum mechanics is just a consequence of the fact that as man digs deeper into the quantum and atomic world, he uncovers more detail, and therefore there's less reason, and therefore uncertainty has to be part of the science. I didn't like that for an explanation of quantum mechanics. Okay. Won't get a Nobel Prize for that, but I think that the psychology and sociology of religion. Okay, of science.
How does this compare with the Machlokas Rambam and Raivid about the free choice of the Egyptians, where the Rambam suggests that each individual had a choice whether to enslave the Jews or not, whereas the Raivid said, no, if the Egyptians were destined to it, could we make the same
distinction? I don't think so.
Distinction?
Not sure. Not sure that's true. I haven't thought about it. I have to think about it. I don't want to broaden this too far. Okay, so anyway, we get here a very, very important foundational understanding. Yeah.
The Kabbalists, for example, post-Arizal, they would argue and say there is a reason, albeit for every single detail as well. Or they would say there's no reason for the they give reasons for the details and not for the overarching principles.
I'll tell you the truth. In the Arizal, the Arizal says in the Eitz Chaim somewhere that there are worlds, thousands of worlds. I think there's a dispute how to understand the Arizal. Speaking about infinite number of worlds, or are you speaking about a finite number of worlds? So if there's a finite number of worlds, so therefore we can't understand the details. There's an infinite number of worlds, and ultimately every detail can be understood. It's a machlokes in understanding the Eitz Chaim. There's much to speak about here. I actually really have just broached the topic. I don't want to go into detail because I don't want to, we do want to move forward. But it's an important philosophical, in the first volume of Rishimu, I actually use this concept to try to explain a theological problem in the Rambam's understanding of what's called the drushes. So how could it possibly be that the drushes are generated by man, when in fact God certainly knew the drusha. So if you look at the article there, I actually invoke this uncertainty principle. And even though a pasuk is uttered by God, there's always an uncertainty as to God's intention. And because of that, then what Chazal can come along and actually argue on a drasha. Now that's why the drasha is a drabbanan. Let me drabbanan. They have a din d'oraisa, but the drabbanan. Why a drasha generated by man? Why can man, can argue on drashas? Because even though the pasuk represents the wisdom of God, the drasha, which brings about the halachic detail, is always subject to uncertainty. So in this way, the Rambam gives a theological answer to the Mor Nevuchim, the Ramban's critique on him in the Shaira Sheni. Those of you who are interested in it, I welcome you, suggest you, it's for free, to download the first Rishimo and see my article in the Shaira Sheni. Okay, this
from
is
the website.
From the website, right. Okay, fine. Now, I invite, all comments and critiques. Okay, now. Okay, so now the Rambam basically has said, right? So what do I tend to do? Now, this chapter is a type of introduction to the Tamei HaMitzvahs. Okay? So he says, I'm going to the last paragraph on page 515. He says, the Rambam, I'm going to take the 613 mitzvahs and divide them into several categories. Kol kavutza tiklo kama mitzvahs, every category has several mitzvahs. We mean echad of one type, or koivis befrinas on the inyan, or similar. Idea lecha is tamim shekol kavutza. In other words, the mitzvahs are arranged in groups, and each group has a reason. For ares to asim shein basofik v'lo mokam l'tchiyya. Therefore, I'm going to show you a reason that the Rambam says you should have no doubts as to that, and what the reason is. Achveich and achsol kol mitzvah. Says the Rambam, after I give you the general reason, I'm going to go over every mitzvah. Achas and achas, one by one. I've done most of the work. There's a few things that I still have to work on, but, I'm writing the book right now. Actually, I've actually figured out some of the details too, says the Rambam. You're going to hear everything. It's called on Mokka Zois Enbev Shorosi Lahavir Lacha El Ach Shakta Mokka. But I need another Prokin. You need another Prokin. You know what chapters? Is this enough? Because I need more Prokin. Vema Prokin Shaska Be Achsha. Now, the fact is, this statement of the Ram is very, very significant. Now you've laid the philosophical foundation. The mitzvahs have reasons. The Prokin don't have reasons. Okay, let's go. Let's start. Why do we need more Prokin? The answer is very simple, because what's called a reason for a mitzvah is going to actually change. Well, the Rambam consists to be a time for a mitzvah is really going to have, in a certain sense, nothing to do with everything set up till now. But for that, we have to actually learn the following chapters. So, in any case, this is all very interesting and exciting. We have the best is yet to come from an undisclosed place, Yerushalayim HaKadosh, Kol Tov, until next week.